you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Well, hello there, friend, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. I'm the friends part, Joey Kroll. Of course, it's Thursday, June the 12th, 2014. So good to be spending some time with you today. I'll tell you what, I've been looking forward to this day for several weeks, not only because it's Thursday, you and I get to hang out, but today I am leaving for my nice little vacation. Right after I get off the air today, I am heading down to Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, I'm so excited. About once or twice each year, I like to go down to Atlanta, Georgia for a nice little prayer retreat, nice little spiritual getaway, and go worship at First Baptist Church in Atlanta. That, by the way, is the church where Pastor Charles Stanley is the senior pastor, so I look forward to that each and every year. So I'm going to do that this weekend. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited for that. I'm also excited to spend some time with you today. We're going to be talking about failure. Oh, yeah, we love talking about that all the time, don't we? But in essence, you and I, we all fail. Sometimes it's in that small stuff, but there's also the big failures as well, where it's also considered sin for some of those bigger failures, so to speak. So we're going to be talking about that. How should we respond to that? Got a great study for that. And well, this past Tuesday, we had a VBS meeting. Our church is going to be doing VBS next month. And I love VBS, Vacation Bible School. I know lots of churches take part in that. How neat that is, where God throws his spiritual lasso out, so to speak, and draws children and their families into the church to partake in Vacation Bible School and hear the Word of God. So our church is hosting one. I know many, many churches as well in the area. So if you are looking for a Vacation Bible School, visit our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on events, and you'll see the whole list of Vacation Bible Schools. I know we have a couple happening this week and more to come here in the weeks to come as well. greatnewsradio.org and click on events. Also, we've been talking about it now for several weeks. It's the Great News Radio Israel trip coming this fall, special 10-day trip to Israel, November 6th through the 15th. There's an early bird registration deadline the end of next month, so that gives you time to prayerfully consider joining us for this wonderful, wonderful trip to Israel. It's entitled, You Have Heard It Said, But I Tell You. So if you want to get more information, or if you want a prayer packet and more information, just give us a call, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777, or you can visit our website. There's an Israel trip tab right there at greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see all the information you need and a special application to fill out for the trip as well. Again, Great News Radio Israel trip coming this fall, November 6th through the 15th. Hope you can join us for this special, special trip. Hey, we're going to be talking about a biblical view of failure coming up right after this on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends on Great News Radio. You know, failure can be pretty painful. I mean, it's that moment when we fall flat on our faces, we make a fool of ourselves, or we betray our values. Failure can also be the cause when things don't go quite the way we had hoped. You know, there are generally two types of failure. One, you do something that you don't realize is wrong. Perhaps you make a right turn at a stoplight when you don't see the no right on red sign. Those failures are also mistakes. These failures are also mistakes. You failed to see the sign. You also failed to see the police officer who's probably right next to you as you turn on that no turn on red sign. But there's also the other element of failure. You know what is right, but you don't do it anyways. You deliberately choose the wrong course or choose not to travel the right course. This isn't a mistake. It's a sin. And you know what, friend? We all fall short. We all sin. Romans chapter 3 talks about that greatly. So then the question isn't if we're going to fail, but what are we going to do when we fail? You know, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we realize there is nothing we can do to earn a right relationship with God. We fail, but Jesus, come on now, Jesus gives us hope. After we become Christians, we still fail, but we sometimes chastise ourselves for failing. Sometimes we think, you know, if I were a Christian, I wouldn't be doing this. Why am I doing this? You know, the same grace we need it for salvation is the same grace we need to live it out. Do you know that? The same grace we need it for salvation is the same grace we need to live it out. The hope that we have in Christ is grounded in grace, and we need to experience that grace day by day. So friend, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 18, verse 15. We're going to read a couple of verses here and there throughout the book of John as we take a look at the life and the failure and the restoration of the Apostle Peter. John chapter 18, verse 15 says, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus because this disciple was known to the high priest. He went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you? She asked Peter. He replied, I am not. It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. We drop down a couple of verses later in verse 25. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there, warming himself. So they asked him, You aren't one of his disciples too, are you? He denied it, saying, I am not. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. Didn't I see you with him in the garden? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. And a couple of chapters later in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, friend, John chapter 18 recounts what had probably been maybe one of the worst moments in Peter's life. Peter had no idea how these events would turn out. Jesus had been arrested. John and Peter followed the arresting party to the residence of the high priest. Now, John, known by the high priest, was able to move in closer. And Peter stayed outside the gate until John could send a servant girl to let him in. And the young girl who guarded the door quizzed Peter. Perhaps even as he entered the courtyard, she asked, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? I know you. And how should Peter answer? I mean, if he said yes, she can turn him in. He could get arrested. Maybe he can even die. This was Peter's moment of truth, where the rubber meets the road. And two more times people asked Peter if he knew Jesus, and the third time the question came from a man related to the guy whose ear Peter had cut off earlier that night in John 18. He said, "Man, I don't even know what you're talking about. Three denials, then the rooster." You know, we tend to see the men and women in Scripture as bigger than life. I mean, their encounter with God and their victory seems so far beyond what we experience today, right? They seem, we put them on that pedestal a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? We may view their failures as equally above ours and maybe even more catastrophic. And some of us might even say, maybe even be tempted to say, "I would never fail Jesus like that. I mean, come on, Peter, what's wrong with you?" And I'll tell you what, friend, that's exactly what Peter had said to himself earlier that night. See, when Jesus shared his last meal with his disciples, Jesus predicted Judas's betrayal. And Peter declared that he would lay down his life for Jesus. And Jesus explained that Peter would betray him, would deny him. And Peter's betrayal would come in a form of denial. I mean, this must have come to a, as a shock to Peter. "What are you talking about, Jesus, that I'm going to deny you?" He said, "I would never disown you, Jesus." You know, maybe, friend, as I think about this a little bit more, maybe we're not so different from Peter after all. I mean, we've all been in a circumstance where we gave in to fear or succumbed to the crowd and denied Jesus in one way or another. We've all had our moments when we tried to hide our relationship to him. See, denial comes in many different ways. But praise God that we are not left alone in our failure. See, when we fail, Jesus will restore us. In the early verses of John 21, we discover that Peter and six others went fishing. They had encountered the resurrected Jesus, but what were they to do now? I mean, Peter returned to do what he knew, fishing. A man appeared on the shore and called out to them, asking if they caught any fish, and they hadn't. The man encouraged them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. When the men followed those instructions, the net became so full of fish, they couldn't even haul it in. And this event was similar to what Jesus had done for Peter in one of his earliest encounters with him. And the connection became clear to John, who shouted, "It is the Lord!" And Peter apparently made the same connection, for Peter jumped into the water, swam to the shore to meet Jesus there. This was after Jesus died and came back to life, the resurrected Jesus. After all, the boastful Peter had humiliated himself by his denial. Jesus had returned to Peter and spoken to him with no mention of his failures. But Peter likely recalled those failures. Even if Peter had felt forgiven, he may have not felt restored. Anybody listening today who repented and asked forgiveness for their past, but yet the past still comes up, and you feel like you're defined by that? And after a meal that Jesus had prepared for Peter and the disciples, Jesus and Peter had a conversation during which Jesus asked Peter three times if Peter loved him. Each time Peter gave an empathetic yes. Jesus responded by telling the apostle to take care of his sheep. Think about that. To take care of his sheep. When Jesus called Peter into the ministry 3 years prior, Jesus said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." That's evangelism, right? He called Peter to be an evangelist. But now after Peter's mess up, and his restoration, God was calling him to feed the sheep. That's the role of a pastor. So through Peter's mess up, failure, and restoration, God promoted him to a pastor. Jesus had asked him three questions. Peter had denied him three times. Jesus' point was not to focus on Peter's shortcomings. Jesus wanted to emphasize on forgiveness and restoration. See, restoration has two parts, friend. Your past is forgiven. When you come to the Lord with a repentant heart, when you ask for forgiveness, your past is forgiven. See, the beginning of forgiveness is the decision to not seek vengeance. Jesus could have been angry with Peter, could have held a grudge, Could have been a whole lot worse. Aren't you glad that God doesn't respond to people like the way we respond to people? Come on now. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Jesus chose to forgive Peter, and he chooses to forgive us today. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. So the first part of restoration is your past is forgiven, because Jesus knows every betrayal we've ever made, will ever make, yet he still loves us. It's in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that we can find hope for forgiveness. So your past is forgiven and your future is radically changed. Jesus called Peter into a future of serving and loving people. Peter, a man others considered unschooled, another ordinary average guy, went on to be one of the most influential spiritual leaders in history. Through the life, leadership, and writings of Peter, God did a great work in spreading the message of Christ. So, friend, failure is painful. It really is. Failure is painful, but it doesn't have to be fatal. Did you hear that today? I'm talking to somebody. Failure is painful, but it doesn't have to be fatal. With Christ, failures can lead to the beginning of something new. Let Jesus restore you and replace your failures with hope.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice. Let the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
And by his wounds we are healed. And the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved. We are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed.
And by his wounds can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
That's right. By his wounds, we are healed. I love that, friend. Thank you so much for letting me spend some time with you here on this Thursday. You can find out more about this radio ministry by visiting our website, greatnewsradio.org. Well, coming up tomorrow, it's going to be the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And Mark and Jason back in the studio talking about the book of Acts. That's coming up tomorrow morning at 7:32 a.m. Central Time, of course. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.